Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, saudi karup, guten tag, ciao, wee viva, cat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison, Kilitary Industrial Core Poor Nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy-mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, food-borne in the USA, home of Uncle Sam, Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and a big shout-out to all my friends at WorldFest in L.A. today, a festival that I first organized in the year 2000. In fact, it's because of WorldFest that this radio program got started. The reason that you are here today, WorldFest. I was promoting WorldFest on various radio stations around the L.A. area, this vegan festival that I was starting. And a producer at KRLA said, hey, you have a background in broadcasting and animal rights. Shouldn't you be doing a vegan radio program? We just happen to have time available on the weekends. You have to pay for it, but, you know, of course. So go find sponsors and advertisers and donors and see what happens. And here we are, 13 years later. Who would have thunk, huh? Right? Thought maybe it would last a couple of weeks. Now, 13 years later, after having been heard on Clear Channel and CBS radio stations, the Air America radio network, now nationally syndicated through the Genesis Communications Network, here we are. Sundays, live, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. So today would be the 15th World Fest. I was only involved with the first two, except for acting now as the complaint department sometimes, it seems. You know, what was it? A couple of years ago, I was at WorldFest and was really surprised to see that HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, was allowed to be a sponsor. And then this year, I heard about an 8-year tradition that, for some reason, you know, has got my blood boiling. On the day before WorldFest, Saturday setup day, WorldFest buys food for the volunteers from El Pollo Loco. Pollo Loco bag does not belong on the site of WorldFest. I mean, you know, bean burrito or not, there's no need for WorldFest to subject its volunteers to the risk of cross-contamination. So, you know, I mean, so hazardous, you know, chicken comes with a warning label, you know. El Pollo Loco note, you know, did they note that these were special WorldFest burritos? So we'll use our vegan cutting boards and our vegan knives, and we hope no mistakes are made that accidentally put animal ingredients in the bag. But WorldFest actually giving money, being a customer of El Pollo Loco, I mean, that's loco, right? A business that primarily profits from the torture and killing of countless chickens is certainly, I don't know, it's morally questionable to be a customer of that company. And certainly it violates the vegan spirit in which WorldFest was first created. And, you know, of course, there were excuses made, rationalizations, that it's the same burrito that the Green Party in the San Fernando Valley buys and other animal rights groups have bought in the past. Really? Why? Green Party? Other animal rights groups? And then they say it's from EPL. So it's not El Pollo Loco. We take the bird out of the whole, you know, we make it a 3-letter nondescript, you know, company, and you're getting food from EPL. What do you care about? But we're taking the bird, the pollo, out of the equation. So that really, that's upsetting. And, you know, I was really upset a couple of years ago when HSUS was allowed to be a sponsor at World Fest. And, you know, if you've listened to this program really just occasionally over the past 13 years, or you see what I post on Facebook and Twitter, you know that I am no fan of the butchers of the Humane Society of the United States, self-appointed leaders of animal advocacy who really are a front for animal exploitation industries. The Humane Society of the United States generally exists to put an animal rights seal of approval on animal abuse, while pocketing money from both the animal abusers and the unsuspecting public that expects HSUS to protect animals with its donations. But HSUS is actually a siphon. It siphons off money that could actually go toward helping animals and instead spends it directly and indirectly on their abuse. The HSUS deception starts with its very name, the Humane Society of the United States. It almost sounds like if you donate to it, you're helping puppies and kittens in your local shelters. Wrong. You must donate directly to your local humane societies. When you donate to HSUS, not only are you not helping puppies and kittens, you may be donating to Ringling Brothers Circus, or maybe I should call it Ringling Brothers Barnum and Pacelli Circus. From HSUS, the same sleazy hucksters who give us the unthinkable and the impossible humane eggs and humane slaughter, humane pork, sustainable meat, and so many other lies. Now from HSUS we get, intentionally or not, the Humane Ringling Brothers Circus. Through the incompetence and legally questionable actions of HSUS and associates, HSUS now forking over $16 million of donor money to Ringling Brothers. HSUS denies that it's donor money, but let's see. And thanks, HSUS, through your frivolous lawsuit, you know, you're undoing years and years of animal rights activism. Those of us who have been handcuffed and roughed up over the years, incarcerated, should rightfully resent HSUS. Too bad, $16 million. I mean, that could put a lot of corporations out of business. Unfortunately, not the bloated anti-vegan pro-meat HSUS, partner with United Egg Producers and Wolfgang Puck and ranchers across the country. I mean, you almost wonder if this animal exploitation front group wanted to make friends with the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Pacelli Circus. I mean, here's $16 million of donor money going to Ringling Brothers. What could it be? What could HSUS say, you know, in this regard? Perhaps it's approaching Ringling Brothers now saying, let us work with you to create, we'll give you the stamp of approval to create the Humane Circus. Let us help you write a press release, Ringling Brothers. Maybe we can partner with you. Hey, maybe we can say you're going to donate the $16 million, you know, that we're giving you to anti-ivory campaigns or something, huh? Win-win for everyone, right? So, in the meantime, it's a big win for Ringling Brothers and its press release out of Virginia, Vienna, Virginia, May 15th, says the Humane Society of the United States, along with their co-defendants, have paid Feld Entertainment Incorporated, the parent company of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Pacelli Circus, and Bailey Circus, $15.75 million to settle cases stemming from a lawsuit brought against Ringling Brothers over the care of its Asian elephants. This historic settlement payment to Feld Entertainment ends nearly 14 years of litigation between the parties. Quote, We hope this settlement payment and the various court decisions that found against these animal rights activists and their attorneys will deter individuals and organizations from bringing frivolous litigation like this in the future, said Kenneth Feld, chairman and chief executive officer of Feld Entertainment. Continuing to quote, "This settlement is a significant milestone for our family-owned business and all the dedicated men and women who care for the Ringling Brothers herd of 42 Asian elephants. We look forward to continuing to set the standard for providing world-class care for all our animals and producing high-quality family entertainment," end quote. Now, I'm going to have to do more homework on this also, because my understanding regarding this lawsuit was that it was associated with the Endangered Species Act and really doesn't address Ringling Brothers' cruelty. But here we have Ringling Brothers able to make this claim, thanks to HSUS. The press release continues. HSUS and animal rights groups, the Fund for Animals, which HSUS bought up, gobbled up like it gobbles up so many other groups, and it immediately axed Virginia Handley when it took over the Fund for Animals. Okay, HSUS and animal rights groups, the Fund for Animals, Animal Welfare Institute, Born Free USA, formerly the Animal Protection Institute, the Wildlife Advocacy Project, and law firm of Meyer, Glitzenstein, and Crystal, and several current and former attorneys of the firm paid the settlement for their involvement in the case brought under the Endangered Species Act, ESA, that the U.S. District Court ruled was frivolous, vexatious, and groundless and unreasonable from its inception. Today's settlement also covers the related Racketeer-Influenced and Corruption Organization Act, RICO case, that Feld Entertainment filed against the groups after discovering they had paid a plaintiff for his participation. Well, I'll continue after the break, and coming up on today's show, we'll look at the National Animal Rights Day coming up, and we'll have animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are also two Bob Linden pages on Facebook. And before the break, we were talking about the Humane Society and associated groups forking over about $16 million of donation money to Ringling Brothers because of losing a lawsuit that was brought under the Endangered Species Act. And the U.S. District Court rules that it was a frivolous lawsuit that was vexatious, meaning annoying, irritating, as most lawsuits would be, but I guess it's a legal term, huh? And groundless and unreasonable from the inception. Ah, nice judgment, nice legal judgment, HSUS. And I'm looking at a press release from Ringling Brothers, Feld Entertainment, which is now boasting about how great it treats animals. And really, that has nothing to do with this lawsuit, but HSUS has given Ringling Brothers that rationalization here. And continuing from that Feld Entertainment Ringling Brothers press release, and by the way, the $16 million does now make it the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Pacelli Circus. Today's settlement also covers the related Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO, case that Feld Entertainment filed against the groups. after discovering they had paid a plaintiff for his participation in the original lawsuit and then attempted to conceal those payments. Nice going, HSUS and related groups. In December 2012, the American Society of the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, ASPCA, a former co-defendant in the case, settled its share of the lawsuit by paying Felt Entertainment $9.3 million. Today's settlement brings the total recovered by Felt Entertainment to more than $25 million in legal fees and expenses, which the company actually spent defending the ESA, or Endangered Species Act, case. After winning 14 years of litigation, Felt Entertainment has been vindicated. I'm quoting here. After 14 years of litigation, Felt Entertainment has been vindicated. This case was a colossal abuse of the justice system in which the animal rights groups and their lawyers apparently believed the ends justified the means. It also marks the first time in U.S. history where a defendant in the Endangered Species Act case was found entitled to recover attorney's fees against the plaintiffs due to the court's finding of frivolous, vexatious, and unreasonable litigation, said Feld Entertainment's legal counsel in this matter, John Simpson, a partner with Norton Rose Fulbright's Washington, D.C. office. The total settlement amount represents recovery of 100% of the legal fees Feld Entertainment incurred in defending against the ESA lawsuit. In the original ESA lawsuit, Feld Entertainment discovered the animal rights groups and their lawyers had paid over $190,000 to a former circus employee, Tom Ryder, to be a paid plaintiff. The court also found that the animal rights groups and their attorneys sought to conceal the nature, extent, and purpose of the payments during the litigation. Their abuse of the judicial system included the issuance of false statements under oath by Ryder, assisted by his counsel, who the court found was the same attorney who was paying him to participate in the litigation. The court found, in addition to Ryder being a paid plaintiff, that the lawsuit was frivolous and vexatious. And so that is from Feld Entertainment, this public relations bonanza, thanks to this lawsuit. I see the International Business Times has a headline there. It's Ringling Brothers' elephant lawsuit is legal vindication for a circus, a blow for animal rights. HSUS president calls loss a small bump in the road over animal mistreatment. Well, let's see what else is being written here regarding this. Let me see here. HumaneWatch.org says the Humane, and I'm not a fan of Humane Watch, but it's a... We're out of time on this one, too. All right, maybe we'll be able to spend a few minutes after the break with this. And coming up, we'll be talking about National Animal Rights Day coming up. And we'll have animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and two other Bob Linden pages there on Facebook. And, inquiring minds want to know if we did reach our goal where we could actually secure our location for the World Vegan Summit and Expo next March, the Marina del Rey Marriott. And yes, thanks to so many people sending in donations on the grassroots level, and then we had support from Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, and Nature's Flavors. We'll be talking about that. But yes, we were able to reach that initial phase one goal, and I thank you for that. We'll just keep talking about it, keep you informed, and we'll make it happen, okay? And before we talk about the National Animal Rights Day, I just want to finish up with a couple of thoughts related to what we've been discussing, this lawsuit, historic lawsuit that has supposed animal rights groups. Why HSUS is called an animal rights group, I don't know. But forking over up to $25 million of donor money in a frivolous lawsuit against Ringling Brothers related to the Endangered Species Act. I would imagine if Ringling Brothers lost the suit, they would find ways to appeal and never give the tens of millions of dollars to the animal rights groups. I don't understand why there isn't an appeal, or maybe I don't understand why HSUS just doesn't go out of business so it doesn't give Ringling Brothers $16 million. It's a lot of circus tickets. Hey, we're all going to the circus, huh? We're going to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Pacelli Circus. I discussed the Feld Entertainment press release now that it's claiming, look, well, we set the standard for great care for animals, even though, you know, it shouldn't be able to come to that conclusion from this lawsuit, as Michael Markarian of the of HSUS, president of the Fund for Animals, said in a statement, the court never ruled on the central question of the abuse of circus elephants in this 14-year-old case, and the groups and their lawyers decided to settle the cases and avoid incurring additional costs, end quote. So, but Ringling Brothers seems to be making claims related that, well, no animal abuse. We set the standard. Wayne Pacelli, this is from the Washington Post. Wayne Pacelli, president and chief executing officer, executive officer of the Humane Society of the United States, said the settlement is covered by insurance and no donor money will go to Feld. Quoting Wayne Pacelli here, but with the funds Feld is receiving, we urge the company to combat the killing of tens of thousands of elephants for their ivory, Pacelli said in his statement. An additional $15 million can save countless elephants by putting more armed guards on the ground or by working to reduce demand in ivory-consuming countries, end quote. Is this guy Pacelli out of his mind? I see the way he's trying to spin it, that now HSUS is giving $15 million of donor money to the circus, to Ringling Brothers. Do you think that Ringling Brothers is going to spend the money that way? But Pacelli, you know, looks at the bright side. This the political mouthpiece here has it going like, oh, good, now we can fight ivory, right? Yeah, right. You'll talk them into that, Pacelli. Okay, nice move there. And then just from HumaneWatch.org, you know, I'm not a fan of Humane Watch, but it does criticize HSUS, which, of course, is in its favor. And HumaneWatch.org tells us that, while HSUS is claiming that insurance will pay for it, the problem is HSUS doesn't have any insurance coverage for this litigation. Ooh, that's painful. Humane Watch says, last year, HSUS sued its liability insurance company, National Union Fire Insurance Company of Pittsburgh, for denying HSUS insurance coverage in the RICO litigation. Indeed, HSUS admits in its lawsuit against the insurance company that it is not covered for the racketeering lawsuit. Quoting here, plaintiffs, HSUS, and two HSUS lawyers are now required to defend themselves in the federal litigation without the benefit of the insurance that HSUS and its affiliates purchased from Defendant National Union to protect them. HSUS, et cetera, are currently deprived of insurance coverage for which HSUS paid. So I guess you can't, you know, pay off someone, lie about it, and have insurance cover it. So apparently Pacelli is lying again, saying that no donor money will be used when $16 million of what you've given to the butchers of HSUS will now pay for a lot of bull hooks, you know, to beat the elephants, a lot of chains to you know, keep them confined. So, yeah, okay. Let's keep supporting this rancher advocacy group that's now, you know, making Ringling Brothers rich. Okay. I don't think we're having any luck reaching Ilam over at WorldFest. And Ilam is with the group Our Planet, Theirs Too, which started the National Animal Rights Day. However, we have Jacinda Beth on the line with us, and she is organizing the National Animal Rights Day festivities happening in the Bay Area in Northern California. And how are you today, Jacinda?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Great, great to have you with us here today. So, good. I guess we're not reaching Ilam over at WorldFest. I mean, he's having too good a time at the event that I created. Although I complained about them serving burritos from El Pollo Loco to volunteers on Saturday setup day. That seems to be kind of a weird place to go buy food for volunteers at WorldFest. But anyway. Anyway, he's lost in the ozone at WorldFest there. And so tell us, tell us, what is National Animal Rights Day?
It's mainly based on a ceremony that Igual Animal in Spain started, and they did in 2011. It's holding deceased animals and just trying to, you know, have a ceremony for the animals and giving, you know, them sort of like a mourning, you know, for them since so many animals die by human hands, you know, every day for the various things that humans do. So it's pretty much just I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
Nothing to be nervous about. You're with friends here.
I know.
We're just on the phone, and don't worry, nobody listens to this radio program, so you're safe. You're no problem.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're saying though that the event itself is that people, the ceremonies that people hold a deceased animal, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. It's the one in Spain was a massive amount of people compared to, you know, how we do it here. But, you know, it's actually easier for them to get animals out that way, too. We have a lot of rules and regulations and things like that. But
I'll bet. Yeah. So it started in Spain, and then the group Our Planet, Theirs Too, decided to start it here in the U.S.?
Yes. Alon lived in New York at the time, and he started it there, but they did it with pictures and instead of actually holding the animals back then. And then this last year was the first year they used the animals. In L.A., he moved to L.A., so, and now, so it's in all three cities this year, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's in New York, L.A., and the Bay Area, yeah. And how did you get involved with it? How?
I went last year, and I just knew that I had to bring it here this year, because it's just something people need to see, and we also, you know, we'll have, like, tabling with different animal groups in the area afterward, to educate the public on ways that they can help animals the best ways, you know, because some people have no idea. So
the best way is to go vegan, of course.
I hope that's yeah, right. We're definitely only promoting veganism at the event for sure. And yeah, we had a lot of hoops to jump through for San Francisco Parks and Rec. So we weren't able to like sample food and stuff this year like they are in LA, but they're doing it a bit different than we are because we had a little bit of, you know, hiccups along the way that we couldn't overcome. Mm-hmm. But next year, this is my first year to like do an event to this caliber, and I've learned so much that I know exactly how to make it better next year. And
mm-hmm. It's amazing to learn by doing.
Yes.
I started World Fest and had no idea what I was doing when I started it. And now I'm working on the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I don't want to give the impression that I don't know what I'm doing. We have a great list of speakers and a great location and, you know, really, you know, but it is learning by doing. You don't, you know, you can put out a plan in front of you, but then, you know, I've done a number of festivals, you know, some in Southern California, you find you have to deal with the health department, and then you have to get three, you know, sinks with three compartments, and then you have to have water delivered by truck, and you know, all sorts of crazy things that you don't expect to happen. So, but I mean, here you are. Oops, we need to take a break. So we'll continue. We'll continue with Jacinda Beth, organizing the National Animal Rights Day in the Bay Area, and coming up next hour, animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and a couple of Bob Linden Facebook pages there. We're talking to Jacinda Beth, who is organizing the National Animal Rights Day activities in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, it's always interesting to see somebody taking something upon herself or himself, you know, and apart from big animal rights groups, you just decided that you were moved by the National Animal Rights Day activities in Los Angeles, where activists were holding deceased animals, victims of human cruelty, and you didn't need a large organization to say you wanted to make something happen up north. And so don't be shy. You're the hero here, Jacinda. You know what I mean?
It's like, thank you.
nothing to be nervous about being on the air. I mean, you, how did you become vegan yourself? Like, I mean, you're so interested in...
Actually, at 16, my first job was at a McDonald's, and I went vegetarian at 16 growing up in Texas, so it was really hard, but I got here as fast as I could, and I went vegan pretty much a couple months afterwards, because I always wanted to be vegan, just because I just thought I couldn't give up cheese, you know, of course, and mm-hmm. I thought it would be too hard to do in Texas. Just because there's just not many options in Dallas area. Well, there are now, but there's more. Definitely. Mm-hmm. It's cool. But once I moved out here, I was like, it's too easy to not be vegan here. I just, mm-hmm. there's so many good options. So I'll be vegan for life. So.
Yep. Yeah. And we need to encourage everybody to do that. Tell us what's happening in the Bay Area, like exactly what you're doing and where and when.
National Animal Rights Day for San Francisco will be at Civic Center Plaza, you know, kind of will be right in front of the city hall. And the time to start the ceremony will be 11 o'clock. And then we'll have like a meditation transition for the activists, because it's a really emotional time. So it'll kind of transition us into the part where we'll end up signing the Declaration of Animal Rights. We'll read that out loud and have people sign it. They started doing the Declaration of Animal Rights because they wanted to get 1 million signatures to send to the White House of people, you know, declaring, you know, that they're going to fight for animal rights. So they have 700,000 right now, I think. And so we're going to add to the list. So, and then after that, we'll start the tabling. And we have 20 different people there. I can read off the list if you'd like, but otherwise we have it on our website at thenard.org. So all the information is there for all three cities.
Okay. And what's the date of the event?
Oh, May 31st. May 31st
in the Bay Area. Jacinda Beth, you're also with Asians for Humans and Animals, so you're bringing dogs from Taiwan to the U.S.
Yeah.
Is that yes?
Mm-hmm.
And you work with Direct Action Everywhere. So
yes, that's kind of who helped me break me out of my shell. I used to be really shy and quiet, kind of, and scared of talk in front of big groups of people, but it's like they've helped me a lot break out of my shell. And I probably wouldn't have, if I hadn't met the Direct Action Everywhere people, I probably wouldn't be doing this event just because there's such a great sense of community with them. And it's not just them, but I don't know, it's just ever since I've met that group of people, it's been a lot more opportunities arose, you know, and so I have a big group of, it's not also sponsored or run by a certain group. We've actually
independent.
Yeah.
We're out of time. I see that Alam is on the line. Maybe we can talk to him after the break. Thanks for being with us, Jacinda Beth, and we appreciate everything you're doing. Thanks for being with us today. Greetings once again. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we expanded to 2 hours for our national syndication through the Genesis Communications Network. Can you handle it? Well, we're live every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can click Listen Live at goveganradio.com. The programs are archived there. And you can click Donate to help us pay for airtime and the expenses we have. And we have many expenses that will be associated with the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up in the L.A. area, Marina Del Rey, March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015. And you can look at worldvegansummit.com and also make a donation there. We did reach our initial phase one goal so that we could put a deposit on the venue. So we have it now. Now it's phase two, so we can make the next payment. And we'll be talking about all the great speakers and wonderful things going on there. And we thank Greenlight Meals for its support of the World Vegan Summit and Expo, Greenlight Meals, making it easier than ever to go vegan with great-tasting, nutritious meals delivered right to your door, wherever you are in the U.S., your home, your office. Go to the website, greenlightmeals.com. That's green, L-I-T-E, meals.com. And well, because you care about animals, the environment, and your family's health, look at the menu there and the wonderful food. You know, you have breakfast choices, including tofu scramble and breakfast burritos, banana walnut pancakes, Cinnabon oatmeal, and lots more. There are entrees from chipotle falafel with sweet potato burrito to baked bean and veggie chili, tofu fritters with hot pepper relish, root vegetable soup, a lot more, vegan barbecue chicken, beefless stew. There are snacks from jerky to trail mix, peanut butter cups. It's all there, all delivered to your door, even smoothies such as the blueberry lemon zest or carrot cake or strawberry shortcake or PBJ. And gift certificates are available, so go to the website, greenlightmeals.com, green, L-I-T-E, meals.com, and you can accelerate your fitness and weight loss goals with consultation and workout plans from Melissa Bray, Greenlight Meals fitness and nutrition consultant, greenlightmeals.com, green, L-I-T-E, meals.com. So we were able to locate Ilam Orion over at World Fest, who started the National Animal Rights Day. So how are you today, Ilam?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Good. Thanks for being with us. So, sure. Did you have a good time there today at the festival?
Yeah, it's still on going on, as you can probably hear. Still at full speed.
Yeah. There's a trick question. I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show, but who started World Fest?
Who started World Fest?
Yes, it's a trick question.
Was it Billy Halting?
It was Bob Linden here, the one you're.
Okay.
That's see the trick question. Okay, so.
So how
anyway,
come you're not here today?
Oh, I was involved the first couple of years with World Fest. Then on came the radio program, and I'm in the Bay Area right now. So,
okay.
And actually, this show is a result of World Fest. I was promoting World Fest at radio stations in L.A. and winding up on one of them there. And 13 years later, here we are. So, you know, so yeah. So, you yourself, how did you get involved with animal issues to the point where you thought it necessary to start a National Animal Rights Day?
Yeah, so I started in Israel. I was living in Tel Aviv, and I don't know if you guys may know, but Tel Aviv is filled with stray cats everywhere, almost more than people. So I just by living there started feeding them, and then started taking them to the vet and neutering and spaying them, and to a point that I became basically a feeding, neutering, paying hospital station to about 30 cats, of course, to the dismay of my neighbors. But I just realized, okay, there's a bigger problem here than just a few animals in the street. What's going on? Why are these hundreds and of thousands of animals in the streets and nobody's taking care of them? And then another issue that kind of caught my attention was back in the day in Israel, we had what used to be called alte zachen, which is a Yiddish word for old stuff, which is basically a name for a poor old horse carrying a very heavy cart behind him, and people just throw, dump their old refrigerators and ovens and stuff like that, and this poor horse has to, load them on and carry them through the streets of Tel Aviv until they reach some warehouse. So I started, calling, the Ministry of Agriculture that is in charge of animals and all kind of associations at the day to figure out, to ask him, how come this still happens? This was in the early, in late 1990s. How come this kind of thing is still happening in the streets of Tel Aviv? And I didn't get too many answers, and I just realized that there's no awareness back in the day. Now it's very different in Israel. But back in the day, there was no awareness, no real animal rights organizations organized that are doing any work for animals. So that's when it really dawned on me that there's a big problem. At that time, I'm ashamed to say, I wasn't really aware of what's going on with farm animals and factory farms, because my family was actually from a kibbutz, which had, the good old-fashioned farm with where the cows can go outside and eat real grass and do whatever they want. So I wasn't really aware of those problems back in the day. And then, to cut a long story short, I moved to New York to study acting and got introduced to all these problems that I wasn't aware of before, meaning the factory farms and all those things, just by meeting people in the streets, leafleting and doing, you know, demos and protests. And that's when I really started getting involved. And the main point that got me going in was that I happened to travel in Spain in 2010, and I happened to go in the street in Madrid and seeing this amazing group of people standing in a line with laptops hanging on their bodies, showing films of animals. And I went to them and I asked them, who are you guys? This is amazing. That's exactly what I always wanted to do and never knew how to do, and I want to bring this to New York. And they happened to be Igualdad Animal, the amazing Spanish group that really started a whole revolution around the world. So that was the main catalyst that got me, okay, I got to do something like this in America. And I got a few people together, and we sat together and decided what should we do and how should we do it using these techniques from Spain. And that's more or less how the National Animal Rights Day was born.
Okay. And you said people were unaware in Israel back in the day when you were there, but there's greater awareness now. Have things progressed a lot, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Now, Israel's, even in the news here, it was dubbed it's going to be the first vegan nation. Israel's pretty amazing in terms of the vegan and vegetarian revolution over there, and in terms of animal rights. Nowadays, they have at least 5-6 big, powerful organizations, including the famous 269 movement that you might know of, that are really active. They're doing demos, they're doing protests, they're getting restaurants to drop meat off of their menu. For example, here in L.A., as you may know, a typical protest, even the National Animal Rights Day, we're looking at maybe getting 200 people to come. Over there in Israel, they get 4,000 people to come to a demo.
What?
So they're very, very open to it, and they're progressing in a like speed of light, and it's just very inspiring. And they're also very creative. I mean, they're doing not only demos like or installations like we're doing with deceased animals, but they do a bunch of other stuff with people in cages, and they even recreate, for example, in the middle of a street in Tel Aviv, they recreated a slaughter scene. They took a calf that was already dead, but they attached a wire to a little pack of fake blood to his body, and they literally got a guy dressed as a slaughter guy with an apron and a knife, and they orchestrated like the fake slaughter of this calf right there in the middle of the street. So all kind of stuff like that they do, which is shocking, yes, but also getting people all over the world, like what happened with the 269 movement, really starting a whole worldwide movement of people rising up and starting to do something. So, it's very great what's going on there.
We're talking to Ilam Oryan of Our Planet. There's two, organizer of the first National Animal Rights Day, now in the U.S. How many years has this been going on now in the U.S., would you say?
Four. So this is going to be the fourth National Animal Rights Day.
Now, you said something shocking a second ago. I have to follow up. You said Israel is going to be the first vegan country or vegan nation.
That's how, I forget which newspaper it was, but that's how, that was the headline of an article recently in an American newspaper. Israel, the first vegan nation, and they talked about what
now,
I...
Why did this renaissance happen? I mean, like, how did it... They were unaware, and then suddenly it's on its way to being... Now, I know that testing was banned, right? Wasn't there some vivisection, cosmetics test?
Product tested on animals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's bad.
Yeah, I honestly think, you know, Israel is a... You know, people say it's the 51st or 52nd, I'm ashamed to say, state of the U.S. We always, in Israel, look up to the U.S., and we also look up to Europe. And So people just, I think it was the Spanish group that started it all, and Israeli people just saw it online and saw it on TV and realized, wow, we got to do something about it. And also, it's a very weird, paradoxical country, because on the one hand, it's being blamed by, you know, at not treating, you know, other people under its rule very well and not being really great about human rights. But on the other hand, people that are really open-hearted and they care about a lot of things, and they're really warm people and good people, educated, warm, caring people. So they do care a lot about animal rights. So and not to say, I mean, there's also many, many groups care about human rights in Israel and you know, and going against what is perceived by other people as, you know, occupation and all that stuff. But there's a lot of openness in Israel to new trends and, you know, and yoga and veganism and anything that is positive and claims to bring about positive change to the world and to Israel itself. So
Stay with me. We have to take a break. Stay with me. We can talk another few minutes after the break. Talking to Ilam Oryan, Our Planet Theirs Too, National Animal Rights Day. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, and Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I'm just I got a package of goodies from Nature's Flavors, who is supporting us with the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and they're spoiling me. They sent me the Select. That's the brand, you know, like Select Tea, S-E-E-L-E-C-T. But, they sent me the chocolate brownie mix. Oh, wow. Okay. Sugar-free chocolate brownie mix. Okay. We have banana bread, no added sugar for baking, gluten-free. Okay. And, these wonderful Birdie and Bill soda pops. Had the banana one. It's delicious. I had a cherry cola, which takes me back to my childhood in New York City. I haven't had a cherry cola in a while. I'm about to open the cream soda. And let's see. Here's apple cake, vegan. All of these, everything from Nature's Flavors is vegan. You can go to naturesflavors.com and the brand Select, S-E-E-L-E-C-T. And here's some of the tea right now. Oh, rosemary. Okay. Sounds good. Good. We'll be getting into that. We've been talking. Oh, and look, this vanilla extract here. Organic vanilla, 2x flavor. Mmm. Yummy. Okay. We're talking to Ilam Oryan of Our Planet Theirs Too, National Animal Rights Day coming up. So tell us about, we heard about the Bay Area earlier. What's happening in LA and New York this year and when?
LA is the same day as the Bay Area, Saturday, May 31st. And as always, the day starts with an opening ceremony where we replicate the Igualdad Animal style of public installations, you might call it, where about 150 people are going to be standing there in a formation wearing our kind of uniform outfits, and holding the bodies of the real animals that died in different industries, from the food industry to shelters to other places. And we're going to read some text and have some musical pieces played, and then honor these animals in a communal blessing ceremony, blessing them on their last journey before they are being taken to be buried. And we end this ceremony part with the unveiling and reading out loud of the Declaration of Animal Rights, which we also created back in New York in 2011. And that will be the end of the ceremony and kind of also the not-so-happy part of the day, where we commemorate these billions of animals that die every year and we promise not to ever forget them. And then we transition into the other side of the day, which is the more happy part, which is a little like World Fest. It's where we celebrate the big steps that are being made in this country and in the world towards a compassionate nation and a cruelty-free nation. And that's where we get to celebrate everything that's been done, everything that we're doing, celebrate the animals in our lives. So we take everybody on a journey from the bad and somber into the happy and hopeful. And that's pretty much
The happy and hopeful is the vegan country, the vegan world. I'm liking what I'm hearing about, you know, moving toward that. What's the website that people can visit?
The website is www.thenard.org.
Okay, terrific. And, interesting talking earlier about you're saying it seems like Israel is going vegan, that there's an awakening there. I'm thinking that biblically, Israel should have been vegan all along. If anybody opens the Bible to Genesis book 1, verse 29, it says be vegan, doesn't it?
And, right.
And the Jewish community suffers heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes from the wrongful diet also. And and I also think that, and I've said it in the past, that I think the key to even peace in the Middle East is if we go vegan, then we have more resources to share. You know, I mean, we fight as much over land and water, right? I mean, those are all considerations. So, well, great. So it's wonderful that the work that you're doing, we really appreciate it. Thank you. We will stay in touch with Ilam Orion and the National Animal Rights Day. Thanks for being with us today.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Coming up, Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and a couple of Bob Linden pages on Facebook. Just if you get lost, you'll find them there somewhere. All of those wonderful vegan products that I mentioned from Nature's Flavors and Select Brand, S-E-E-L-E-C-T. It's a vegan company. All of its products are vegan. All of them are available at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga and Santa Monica, which is probably, maybe a mile or two away from where we'll be having our World Vegan Summit and Expo. We made the down payment. And so the venue is secured, and so we thank Vegetarian House for putting $1,000 toward securing the venue for the event, World Vegan Summit and Expo, March 20, 21, 22 of 2015. I'm looking over this list of guest speakers here. It's actually quite amazing. I didn't alphabetize it yet, so in no particular order, Gary Francione, Anna Charlton, Sue Coe, Sherry Kolb, Michael Dorf, Gary Steiner, Will Tuttle, Cindy Sheehan, Keith McHenry, Sarah K. Woodcock, Richard Openlander, Vaidya Priyanka, Wayne Shun, Bob Linden, Alan Miller of the World Bank. We'll talk about that study. 51%, at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Jingwu Zhang of Loving Hut. Yeb Sanyo, the chief climate negotiator for the Philippines, who is vegan. will be there also. Doctors Milton Mills, Antenna Roba. For food, Miyoko Shinner, world famous chef and author, and we'll have great music, and we'll talk about this in the weeks to come. It's a work in progress for sure. And how are you, Professor Gary Francione? What's up with you?
Well, I'm fine, Bob. You know, I want to ask you, when are you going to start allowing people to register? Because I think that thing's going to fill up quickly.
It is going to fill up quickly. We're going to have plan Bs, like adding extra rooms on and maybe in-house closed-circuit television. You know, I mean, it's... it'll probably be a few days. I'll post it on Facebook, or maybe we'll... I'm not exactly sure when we're going to start opening the registration. There's a limited number of rooms available. Also, at I'm finalizing the contract, so maybe tomorrow when I talk to the Marriott, Marina Del Rey Marriott, I'll have a better idea. I'll post something early this week, and we'll get it going.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's going to be a terrific event, and I'm really going to encourage everybody to look. I mean, it's going to be a great event, but the reality is it's the only vegan conference people can go to. The rest of these things are not vegan conferences. They're happy exploitation conferences. The event, which will occur in California this summer, the so-called Animal Rights 2014 National Conference, is just nothing but a trade show for the welfarist organizations, the happy exploitation trade show, and I think it's shameful. In any event,
will people, you know, I mean, HSUS, a so-called animal rights group, and it itself is a joke calling it that. I guess it's going to be there asking for money so that it can pay you $16 million to Feld Entertainment and Ringling Brothers. I talked about it earlier in the show, but, you know, HSUS and other groups lost a frivolous lawsuit. Now they're forking over $16 million in donation money. Although HSUS is saying, oh, it's not donation money, insurance is going to pay for it, it also looks like they don't really have insurance. So this is kind of an interesting development.
I'm not an expert in that area, but I would imagine it would be rather difficult to get an insurance policy that would cover a RICO violation. But you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would find it very, very odd.
Right,
but
right.
Bob, also remember, they're taking in $130 million a year, and they had, you know, they've got over $200 million in the bank. So in a sense,
it's nothing. It's nothing to them, right?
It's chump change. But speaking of shameful events, I want to talk about something that I think is somewhat historical. And that is the fact that the Vegan Society in the United Kingdom, which is 70 years old, which was formed by Donald Watson in 1944.
The man who gave us the word vegan, yes.
Yeah, right. who coined the word vegan because he was just, you know, he was a vegan, and he was shocked at the fact that people who were vegetarians were eating eggs and cheese and whatnot, milk, drinking milk. And so he wanted to come up with a word that described, at least in the first instance, the diet of somebody who did not consume any animal products, and that's how we got vegan. But Donald Watson was a great guy. I did the entry on him for the Cultural Encyclopedia of Vegetarianism, and he was a terrific man. He was politically progressive. He was a conscientious objector in the Second World War. He was a socialist. He was a very, very... was a very progressive man who had truly progressive views, which included but wasn't limited to the idea that we shouldn't exploit non-human animals. He founded the Vegan Society. Unfortunately, the Vegan Society has become nothing to do with Donald Watson. As a matter of fact, I think we should have a moment of silence for Donald Watson, and we'll have that now. Okay.
Dead air on radio scares you know, radio station owners. It's the last thing. Oh no, dead air on radio. That used to be the greatest fear.
We had a brief moment of silence with Donald Watson. But you know, what's really a shame is the Vegan Society recently launched this "You Don't Have to Be Vegan" campaign, and they announced that they're not going to promote veganism as a moral baseline. What they're going to do is, they're going to just promote that people try vegan products. So it's this, anybody, we can all be vegans. You know, if you buy a vegan item, you can be a vegan too. So it's a mixture of this flexitarian, anybody's a vegan who buys a vegan product. It's this idea that we don't have to promote it as a moral baseline. It's the idea that, why don't we just encourage people to buy vegan products now and then, and they'll see how much they love them. And it's just sort of silly. But, what's really upsetting is this is a vegan society. This is the vegan society. This is
the
Donald
vegan
Watson.
Society, yes.
Yeah, this is the vegan society started by Donald Watson, who died in 2005. At age, he was
in his 90s, I think.
He was 90, I think he was 95. I mean, he was quite old. It had stopped being a politically progressive organization because you don't want to alienate donors, so you don't want to take a position on any social justice issues. But it really has been going downhill. And recently they hired. This woman, Jasmine Dubu, who was involved with the Animal Welfare Party in Europe, which is another silly thing, and they hired her as the CEO. And the reality is, Bob, the revolution is never going to be initiated by an organization that's got a CEO. But they hired her, and she just come out with this campaign, this "You Don't Have to Be Vegan" campaign. What's really interesting, she had an essay in the Huffington Post, and in which she explains this new campaign. And she says, they did market research.
Is it really called that? Is it really called "You Don't Have to Be Vegan" campaign? I mean, are they referring to it like that?
They initially the first iteration, the first website that they put up on this said, "There, we said it. You don't have to be vegan." I then did an essay about it. Thousands of people read it. I think there was a lot of correspondence with the Vegan Society. So they pulled that language, and they've just now got, "You don't have to be vegan to love vegan lipstick. You don't have to be vegan to love vegan shoes. You don't have to be vegan." And it's basically this idea that anybody can call themselves a vegan, or, we can all participate in veganism simply by purchasing vegan products, and you don't have to be a vegan. Just try vegan products, and it's this idea that we're gonna just forget about veganism as a moral baseline because, and I'm reading from the essay, "Research shows that young people don't want to be talked to or made to feel guilty about issues. Instead, they want the freedom to choose for themselves, to come to their own conclusions, and reach that moment of realization." What are we talking about here? I mean, how do you have a social justice movement? How do you have a movement that takes the position that it's morally wrong to exploit animals without having a moral position on the exploitation of animals? And to say that we did market research and we've come to the conclusion that young people don't want to hear about morality, that's just absurd. I mean, I don't know what market research they're talking about. And obviously, as everyone knows, you can design a study that will show anything that you want it to show. So you could ask young people, "Do you like being told what to do? Or do you like to come to conclusions?" And they'll say, "Well, I like to come to my own conclusions." "Oh, well, fine. Then, therefore, we're going to stop promoting veganism as a moral baseline." But that's the sort of thing that they're doing. I just almost fell off of my chair when I read this. "Some people can make the jump to veganism overnight, but we understand that for others, 'Go vegan now' messages are lost." Well, you know what? Yes, it is true. I do end essays by saying, "Go vegan, it's easy, etc." You do the same sort of thing, Bob. But we all know that a lot of people aren't going to go vegan overnight, in large part because they've got these organizations telling them they don't have to go vegan, that they can satisfy their moral obligations to animals by going to Whole Foods and buying animal welfare-rated, animal compassionate meat and whatever.
Having cage-free hard-boiled eggs on Mondays. Monday.
So, I mean, that's part of the problem. I mean, part of the reason why people don't go vegan right off the bat, or the reason why people are vegetarians for 30 years and don't ever become vegans, etc., is because no one's ever suggesting that they do it. No one's ever saying to them, "Look, if you think animals matter morally, there is one and only one rational response to that, and that is to go vegan." Nobody says that to them. And so you know, this idea that, well, people aren't going to go vegan overnight, so what we're going to do is we're going to stop promoting veganism as a moral baseline, and we're going to promote, you know, we're going to promote something else. We're going to promote flexitarianism, or we're going to promote, you know, buying vegan lipstick or something. Please, let's be real here. Of course we know a lot of people aren't going to go vegan overnight, but you know what? They ain't never going to go vegan if you're not telling them that there's a moral imperative there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this idea that we're not going to talk about morality anymore because people because market research shows they don't want to hear about it, or you know, I mean, or that we're going to encourage them to buy vegan products. Well, how are they ever going to make the connection? What are they going to do? Just like sort of buy vegan products? I mean, people buy vegan products as it is right now. Everybody buys vegan products. I mean,
yeah, we have to take a break. We will continue and on this radio program that's dripping with moral superiority with Professor Gary Francione coming up. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Twitter at GoVeganRadio, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook. Also, two Bob Linden pages on Facebook. I mentioned Vegetarian House before. It's a 100% vegan restaurant in the Bay Area, kind enough to donate $1,000 toward the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And I suggest, if you think going vegan is difficult, look at the menu. Have Vegetarian House cater an event. You'll see how delicious going vegan is, and it'll make it easy for you to make that moral leap. VegetarianHouse.us. You know, if you have a business event, a wedding coming up, really, bring the food up a notch. The food is great there. 100% vegan, organic, non-GMO. Vegetarian House in San Jose. And we're talking to Professor Gary Francione, who alerts us that now even the Vegan Society in England is telling us, well, you don't really have to be vegan. It's not a moral imperative. Joining the cast of Vegan Before Six and Flexitarian and Meatless Mondays. And, you know, Gary, I need donations too. I'm going to run out of options. Buy my next book, Be Vegan Between Meals. I think that'll be my...
The thing is that this is exactly what the Vegan Society is doing, is they're joining, you know, for a number of years now, they've been getting closer to the welfare groups. They've been promoting some of the campaigns of the welfare groups. And I think that what they've just done is they've declared themselves now firmly in the quote vegan end quote outreach flexitarian camp, and they're basically telling people, look, people aren't going to go vegan overnight, so we're not going to promote it as a moral imperative. Market research shows that that morality is not popular with young people. They actually had, I'm reading from Ms. DeBoo's, or CEO DeBoo's essay, I am more determined than ever to alert more and more people to the benefits of veganism for their health, the environment, for the economy, and of course for the benefit of all animals. So, you know, the moral question or the moral issue is listed last, and they're not even promoting that as a moral imperative. But I mean, the idea that, you know, you're promoting veganism for the economy, I mean, that just blows my mind. But you know, then there's a comment about how, well, you know, they haven't departed from the mission of the founder. Let's see, where is this? Looking for the, at some point in this essay, she says that that we haven't. Here it is. One thing we haven't done is wavered from the original vision of our founders. Well, let me just tell you, that's completely false. The modern vegan society in the United Kingdom bears no resemblance to the one that Donald Watson started in 1944. And so, I just think it's very, very sad, Bob. I think the organized vegan movement, you know, at the level of the large organizations, is dead. It is as dead as dead can get.
Even the word vegan now, even organizations with the V word, the good V word in their name, you're telling us?
Yeah, Look, Vegan Outreach and now the Vegan Society aren't vegan organizations. So, yeah. You know, I mean, it's now up to the folks out there in the grassroots movement to start a vegan movement, to start a vegan movement. I mean, that's what I try to do. That's what you try to do. And that's what a lot of people who are out there, grassroots activists, are trying to do. And I want to tell you, you know, when I started my segment at 9:30, I just posted something saying, "Want a real vegan conference? Here it is." And I posted World Vegan Summit on my Facebook page. In the not even 30 minutes, we've got over 1,000 people who have seen it, and several people have already indicated that they're going to sign up. And I just posted something saying, I predict it's going to fill up quickly. So yeah. I do. I think this thing's going to fill up very, very quickly. So I'm going to encourage everybody who wants to go to sign up quickly, because I think this thing's going to fill up.
Okay. And I'll keep people up to date, you know, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio and GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook. And I'll keep the word going to you, so you'll keep posting
I'll inform my 57,000 people.
Yeah, 57,000 people. We should have rented the Coliseum in Los Angeles, I guess.
Indeed, maybe next year.
Maybe next year that's what we'll need, you know? I mean, but, you know, we're trying this a first-time thing out of need. I mean, the vegan event I started in L.A. in the year 2000 is on today, World Fest. And they were feeding the volunteers on Saturday burritos from El Pollo Loco. They were bean burritos, but still, there's something about, you know, World Fest purchasing from El, you know. Okay, there's the music. We'll talk again next week, Professor Francione.
Absolutely,
thank you so much. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening. Love animals. Go vegan.